This is a Mont Bold Christian Fellowship sermon podcast. We hope you find this message enjoyable and inspiring.
Wow. Oh, yeah. It's nice to have a son that cheers me on. So, he's a good kid. I got some great kids. So, thank you, Sean. I'm so proud of you and Abby and Evan and my beautiful wife, Joyce. I just wanted to quickly introduce myself for those of you who have not met myself and the family. My name's Andrew, and I'm an evangelist, really, so have a huge passion to see people come to know Jesus. I think all you have to do is listen to what Pastor Jason shared and even look at your own life and you go, wow, what does the world do without Jesus? You know, there's such a need to know our value and our worth, to know our eternal security and all of that. And so that's what I do. We run a ministry called Fire and Rain International Ministries. And sounds really fancy, but it's basically just my wife and I saying yes to Jesus whenever and wherever. My most recent missions trip was over in Indonesia. For those of you that prayed for us, I really appreciate that. We saw over 3,000 documented decisions for Jesus in a couple of weeks. And we actually held a meeting with the, this is quite fun and funny actually, we actually held a meeting with the local pastors in a particular region. And I was told the most pastors you'll ever get to come together in one room will be about 50. Most of the pastors don't really like each other. So interesting because we were looking out at some different faith houses of worship, I'll just put it that way. And one of the pastors said, it's so interesting, we're up on this roof, and he said, if you're part of that religion, you can go to anyone you want. But us Christians, we're so protective and we fight each other and you can only go to that one, that church. And if you belong to that denomination, how dare you go to that church? And he said, no wonder we got problems as a church. We're fighting each other, but these guys are all united and they just join each other. And I'm like, oh, that's so interesting. So I was told, look, there'll be, you know, at most we'll get maybe 50 pastors together. Our plan is to do a big gospel event over there in June. We're believing that we're going to have tens of thousands, if not even up to 100,000 people attend this open air event in an area that, in a nation that is that's not really the norm. So pray for me for wisdom and safety and just in how to do that. But it's going to be good. Praise the Lord. So thank you, Sean. So someone's going to pray for me. That's good. So we thought we'd gather the pastors together and basically see if there's an interest in the region. Because if you don't have unity, you don't get the blessing. Unity commands a blessing. And so we wanted to see if there was unity. The interesting thing is we were told there was a split in the denomination, the main denomination in the region, 6 years ago. And people literally took to the streets with machetes. So one church against the other church, machetes out. You think your church has problems, hallelujah. And so they're out on the streets, the machetes are out. And I was told, look, they won't come together, you know, it's not going to happen. Well, 325 pastors and leaders in the room later, and we saw as literally leaders of denominations stood to an altar call of forgiveness. So I shared it was stunning. The locals said it was a total miracle. I actually shared a really interesting picture around forgiveness, and I wasn't actually planning on sharing this. It's not in my message. I'm going to preach short, pray long today because it's already been a long service, but I just feel led to share this quick picture that I shared with the pastors. So, Craig, can I get you up? Sorry to get you up here. So what I shared was about how when we're injured, when we're hurt, we withdraw. And so, Craig, if you were to, don't actually do it, hard, but if you were to hit me in this arm, so I come in to shake your hand, but you actually punch me. Oh, okay. Well, what's going to happen next time I come to Craig? What am I going to do? I'm going to shield that arm, aren't I? Now, if I come to give him a hug and he hits me in the other arm, now when I come near Craig, I'm going to be like this, aren't I? Now, I can't hug him. I can't show him the way. I can't help him. I can't shake his hand. I'm now useless to him because I've allowed my wounds to disable me from being able to serve him and to love him and to come close to him. You can sit down, that's all right. Thank you. But, you know, when we forgive, that's exactly what happens, is we begin to open up again. We begin to risk, because it is a risk to forgive. But we begin to risk because we say, you know what? Even if I get hurt again, my Father is with me. My Father is for me. He's the mender of the brokenhearted. He's the comforter. He's close to me. So I can risk and I can even fall because the Lord will pick me up and he'll care for me. Anyway, we had this profound time with all these pastors and leaders, and everyone said this is a miracle. And so we said, I think we need to go back and go after the whole region. So please pray for me. That'll be in Indonesia next year. This year, sorry, it's 2023. Hallelujah. And in 3 weeks, we head off to Kenya. We're going after 3 million decisions for Jesus in Kenya this next year. And I've already got nearly 100 evangelists that are looking at joining me in Kenya and believing that we're going to have hundreds of evangelists flood that nation. So that's going to be wonderful. So that's me. That's what I do. I also date my beautiful wife, Joyce, and pursue her. And I do my very best job as a dad as well. So sometimes I fail, would you believe it? Even this last week, we had a few moments on family holiday. I know your family doesn't have those moments, but my family did. And I'm constantly asking the Lord, how do I do things His way? How do I do things His way? How do I parent His way? How do I love my wife His way? How do I be salt and light to the world the way that the Lord would have me do it? Let me just pray, and then I've got a couple of things that I'll share, and then we'll pray together at the end. Is that okay? We good? I know it. You know, most of you may be thinking, gee, the service should be finishing now and Andrew's just started. Bear with me. I really do believe that there's something very, I don't say this lightly, there's something very special this morning. I don't know if you felt it in the worship, just the glory of God. We were driving to the service this morning and I just said to Joyce, I said, I don't know what it is. I just feel like this feeling that I haven't had for so long, almost like a, not a nervous energy, but you know what I mean, where you're like expectant. I was so expectant this morning, and I really believe the Lord's going to do a deep work here. Let me pray. Father, I thank you so much for today. I thank you, Lord God, that you're going to speak to every single person in this room. I pray, Lord God, that you would move in your power, that you would move in your glory, that you would set us ablaze for the lost. You would set us ablaze for our families. You would set us ablaze for our neighbors and our colleagues. And most importantly, you would set us ablaze for you. That in 2023, we would burn for you. We would long to be with you, long to follow you, long to run after you with everything that we have. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. I feel I have a word for the church, but I'm aware that some of the leaders are out of the service at the moment, so I'll wait on that one maybe for this afternoon, not this afternoon, for after the service, which could be in the afternoon because we're already, the prophetic's already flowing. We're already at 11:35, so. Let me read your poem that I wrote a month ago. Worry, you sneaky old witch. It's time to expose you. I'm flicking the switch. How dare you come around here again? I will never, ever call you friend. You only ever visit me to torment me, but don't you know that I'm already free? I was redeemed by Christ. He set me free from your evil vice. His blood didn't just save me from sin. His blood meant that you will never win, for his blood adopts me into his eternal family. There I am, son, ever provided for. There I am always welcome through his door. I may not have all that you try to offer. I may not have all the sex, money, and power, but I do have a father whose love is unconditional, and I do have a savior who is ever available. I may not know what 2023 will bring to me, but I do know, worry, that you're not going to be around to see. Be gone, worry, you can stay in 2022. My father and I have got much more important things to do. As we head into 2023, I wonder where you've set your course. I wonder what your focus is on. I wonder where you've pointed your guns per se. I was down on the Mornington Peninsula at Point Nepean National Park at Fort Nepean, if you've ever been down there. And they have these big guns because they used to, it was a place where they'd placed guns just in case we got into some trouble in World War II in Melbourne. And I don't know if you're aware of this, but many a battle has been lost because the guns have been pointed in the wrong direction. I don't know if you're familiar with the fall of Singapore. If you've ever been to Singapore and visited some of the war museums there, they did not expect the Japanese to come from the direction they came from. They didn't expect them to pass through the jungle that they came through. They didn't expect them to cross where they crossed. And Singapore fell very quickly. And often these battles are lost because there's been so much time, so much energy, so much effort put into defense, but it's defense of the wrong spot, if that makes sense. The guns are pointed in the wrong direction and the enemy just comes in from behind. It's like putting bars on your front door, locking it all up, and then leaving the back door wide open. And the crook is actually coming through the back door, not the front door. And I just feel to challenge you, to encourage you, to maybe even get you thinking, where have you set your guns for 2023? How are you setting your agenda? Some of you have set New Year's resolutions. I gave up on those when I was about four. But some of you have set New Year's resolutions, and that's wonderful. But how have you set them? See, we set the course for our life. We set the agenda for our life really based on one or two things, either worship or worry. Either worship or the world. We either set what we're doing and how we're acting and how our time and our money and our energy and everything is spent based on moments with him or moments with the world. Oh, well, yeah, okay, let's have a look at this. Okay, we need this amount of dollars, and if we're going to, you know, upgrade this machinery and we're going to put on the sheds, or we're going to need this, so I need to work on this and I've got to do that, and okay, done. And it's just a transaction between the world and the world versus, Lord, you've given me a business. How do you want this business to be run this year? What do you want me to do? What does it look like? What do I need to upgrade? What do I need to let go of? Do you even want me in this business? What do you, not my will, but yours be done. And there's two ways that we can go about 2023. And my concern is that often what we do is we point our guns in the direction of what the world is bringing at us, instead of asking the Lord, what battlefront am I meant to be on right now? And what direction am I meant to be pointed? And because the Lord knows the schemes and strategies of the enemy, the Lord knows how to advance his kingdom. He is, if I can put it this way, he's got the bird's eye view of the whole battlefield. He knows what's going on. He knows the beginning from the end. If you want to know when Jesus is coming back, he's probably not going to tell you, but he knows. The Father knows when he's sending his son back. We need to get our marching orders from on high. We need to be checking in with the Lord, not just looking at our circumstances and what we can see here. Does that make sense? I'm going to share a quick video that I really feel is for this church. I was praying, was either last night or this morning. I said, Lord, you know, is there something for Mombok? And he showed me this scene, and I was going to describe the scene to you, and then I realized we live in an amazing world where there's projectors and computers, and I can just play the scene for you. So let me show you a quick scene. I will get into scripture in a minute, but I felt to bring this word to the church very quickly. So let's have a look at this scene. You could maybe turn the lights off. It's from Braveheart, the greatest movie ever made in my humble opinion, second to The Passion, which also Mel Gibson, so, you know, that's all I'm saying. All right. So, I will speak while it's going. You've got the English army, if you haven't seen this movie, you've got the English army, and they're coming against the Scottish army. And the Scots are well under-defended, undermanned. In the natural, they should be beaten. But William Wallace, or Mel Gibson, has this plan. And his plan is better than anything they could have ever thought was coming at them. So it's quite special. But he has to actually get his whole army to work together in unity. They prepare for this moment, and then they have to listen to his voice. He's saying, hold, hold.
Hold.
They should be just trampled to death. Just so we know, no horses were harmed in the making of that film, I'm assured. I want to humbly submit this to this church community, if I may. And I feel the fear of the Lord, actually. That now is the season for this church to be united and to be listening. To be listening not just to the Lord, but if I may, and people don't usually like this because they go, oh, this is very, you know, controlling or very dictator-like, or whatever. But not just listening to the Lord, but listening to your pastors as well. I really believe that the Lord has put Jason and Michelle here for a reason. And like I shared about in Indonesia, why were things just falling apart? Because people were infighting. And once unity comes, then you see the blessing. And I've been seeing, I have the privilege of visiting this church every now and then. And so therefore I get a little bit of a glimpse of what's going on. I see the spiritual atmosphere rising. I see almost this ragtag army, like the Scottish army, actually starting to get some wins on the board. And actually, I was like, has the church service started? Because this prayer meeting is packed. I was like, You know you're in a like the Lord's doing something when the church is, you don't know when the prayer meeting finishes and the church service starts. But I feel it's so important to hold the line in this season as a church. I feel it's so important to back your pastors and to listen to what they're saying. To listen to the Lord, but also to be aware that the Lord has put Jason here for such a time as this. And when he says, hold, 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 and everything in you says, no, 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 we need to do, but no, we've got to do, you don't, he's like, no, 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 no. Just so you guys know, I know this because I pastored a church. Your pastor is only ever thinking about your good, about how to serve the church, about how to see the kingdom be advanced, about what the best way it is to structure things, about what building you should be in, about what, you know, who should be in what roles, about how the youth's going to flourish, how the worship's going to flourish, how the men are going to flourish, how the women are going to flourish, how the marriages. Like, this is his full-time job. It's his full-time calling. He stays up at night thinking about how you can be healthier, how you can better reflect the King, how you can be free from depression and anxiety and worry and fear. It's like, in America, they have a day called National Pastors Appreciation Day. I wish we had it in Australia. Our pastors are so underappreciated in this country. And I just wanted to say, I really feel now is the time to lean in, because you don't want to get trampled by the enemy. And he'll take any crack he can find. Any crack he can find. To lean in and say, what's the Spirit saying? And to trust, what's our pastor's plan? I was thinking about this because a lot of people, they say to me, Andrew, I could never do what you do. You know, I could never, and you can't. And I could never do what you do. And I can't. And it's not my calling. But we're in a war. We're in a battle. There are literally people killing themselves. There are people harming themselves. There are people, I mean, we are in a battle. If you haven't picked that up, like, it's on. And when you're in a war, really you should be doing one of two things, shooting or handing bullets. Does that make sense? You're either in the supply line or you're on the front line. But everyone leans in and everyone has a part. So I look at Aaron, who I'm so proud of. I just go, wow. And I go, mate, if you're going to jump out in the front lines, you're going to go on missions trips, you're going to get discipled, then like, what do you need? How do we back you, you know? And I was thinking about this with this church. Some of you might feel like I don't have vision or direction for 2023. If you just backed Pastor Jason, that man is not short of vision. Am I right or am I right? He's always thinking about how to change the world. I've known him for long enough to know he's a bit like me. It's like, let's do this. No, let's do that. Or we could do that, you know. And so you might have to ask, like, are you thinking out loud or are we going to execute this one, you know? But when he's like, let's execute it, hey, how can I back you? What do you need, you know? And I know he'll do the same for you. Is that okay? I just felt to submit that. I really feel this is a defining moment for the church in your history. You're really seeing incredible victory. You're seeing incredible growth, and the enemy doesn't like it. And he's going to come against this family, and you need to lean in. It's almost like if you've seen Gladiator as well. Here I am just divulging all the gory movies I like. But in the movie Gladiator, and I don't have this scene, they're expected to lose once again. And the world will tell you this. They'll say, oh, the church in Australia is dead and dying. It's not true, just so you know. But they're expected to lose, and Maximus, is it Maximus? Been a while. I hear there's a sequel coming out. Anyway, so Maximus the gladiator, he basically says to this ragtag mob, if we stick together, we survive. And you see a couple of them go, I'll fight on my own, and they just get eaten up. They do. But the ones that stick together survive and they win. So anyway, I'll submit that to you. Okay. I don't even have time to preach. Okay, what do I say now? Let me read you a passage of scripture so that I get invited back. He didn't even open the Bible. Matthew 6, 25 to 34. Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you'll eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? Why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own troubles. My wife hates that verse. She's like, I just don't get it. I mean, don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow's going to suck. Just worry about today. The point is this, it's called daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. Don't worry about tomorrow. Don't be stupid. Like don't, you know, there are some people that go, oh, you don't have to worry about tomorrow, so therefore, you know, I never lock my cars, never lock my house, I never, you know, I just, every time I get my paycheck, I just spend it all on the pokies, I just, you know, it's like, mate, that's just stupid, right? But don't react out of worry and live your life out of worry. Worry's always going to be there. The question is, are you going to partner with it? Or are you going to say, I'm going to seek first the kingdom and his righteousness? You can seek the world or you can seek the Lord. If you try and do both, you'll fall over. And if you seek the world, you're in a lot of trouble. But if you seek the Lord, oh my, if you seek the Lord, if you seek his righteousness, if you seek his kingdom, oh, what's possible? What's possible in 2023? You will not be robbed from behind. No, you will be pointing your guns. In fact, I dare say you'll be taking your guns off the defensive position, mounting them onto wheels and moving forward and advancing the kingdom because you're saying, Lord, where is he? Where's that rascally enemy in my life? What do I need to cut out? What do I need to get rid of? I actually felt, it's a bit of a strange word, but I actually felt even the New Age energies and crystals and chakra and all of this. Cut it out. Get rid of it. You've got the Holy Spirit. You've got prophecy. You've got the fire of God. You don't need all that stuff. What do you need to get rid of? What do you need to start doing this year? You know, we just moved into a new house, and just like at the end of November. And so we put flyers in all of our neighbours' letterboxes and we said, we're having a Christmas barbecue down at the park, who, you know, basically we'd love you to come. All but two houses in the street showed up to our barbecue. One of the neighbours said, gee, you're quick. You only just finished unloading the moving truck and you're hosting a barbecue. And you know what one of the guys' dad said that lives over our back fence? He said, I reckon you're an ants. He goes, I reckon you're an answer to my prayers. I've been praying for my son. His brother died basically the day you moved in. And he's really wrestling. He's kind of the alcohol and the anger and the this and the that. And now you're here, a preacher. He goes, mate, I reckon you're the answer to my prayers for my son and his family. What, you know, maybe it's getting to know the neighbours this year. Maybe it's just calling up a friend or a family member and having a meal with them. You know, a lot of people say, well, like I said before, I can't do what you do, Andrew. But you can do what you do. Oh, I have so many business ideas. I am like a business, like, if you want business ideas, come to me, I'll help make you rich. I have got so many business ideas and I know they'd work. But the Lord says to me, stay in your lane. I've called you to evangelism. You've got to lead the charge for Australia and for these nations. Like, that's your lane. Do it. And I'm like, oh, but Lord, if I could just... No, you're an evangelist. You worry about my business. I'll worry about yours. You know, stay focused. But some of you are business people. And maybe you need to come alongside someone like me or Aaron or Jason or and say, how can I help you? What do you need, mate? You know, this event we're doing in Indonesia, we're literally, it just comes down to dollars as to how many people we'll have there. The locals have said to us, we can fit 16 people in the back of a truck and bring them in and everyone will come. But the trucks are like, I think they're about $100 US each. So however much money you have is how many trucks we'll bring, and that's how many people will hear the gospel. And I'm like, okay, I've got to raise some money. That's not an appeal for funds, but what I'm saying is, imagine me in my flesh, in the worry of the world, I go, I've got to make some money. If I get out there and work for a couple of weeks, even just mowing lawns, that's like, you know, I could get, you know, a couple of hundred trucks or something. That'd be amazing. And I can come up with my own strategy here, or I can say, Lord, this is your harvest. How do you want this to work? And he always provides. He always makes a way when we look to him, not to the world. There is a way that seems right to a man, but in the way it'll lead to death. Don't look to the ways of the world. Look to the ways of the Lord. Don't set your agenda for 2023 through worry, but set it through worship. Come to the Lord. All right, so I don't really know what to say because I never really got to my message. That was part of it. I'll just say this. Let me just say this. God so loved the world. He so loved you that he sent his only son, Jesus, to die for you. God pursued you. God came after you. 2,000 years ago, Jesus came. We just celebrated it during the Christmas season. Don't you think he's big enough? Don't you think he's great enough? He can take away your sin. He can heal you. He can show you the direction of this year. I kid you not, I have a book that I write all my sermons in. That's my sermon, by the way. It's deep, isn't it? Oh dear, evangelists. We're not the sharpest tool in the theological chess, but we do know how to preach the gospel. And I was working on my message, and I could not find my normal book, so I pulled this book out. And you know what's written on the bottom of the book? On the page, the first page for me to write my message in this brand new book, it simply says this, Psalm 55:22. Give your burdens to the Lord and He will take care of you. I knew I was preaching a message on not letting worry set the agenda for 2023, but letting worship, letting the Lord set your agenda. And I start writing my message. It says, give your burdens to the Lord and He will take care of you. Psalm 55:22. So, I'll just say this. If you're not walking with the Lord right now, you know that you need the Lord. You need to get right with God. Today's your day. Don't wait. The Bible says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. So I would invite you right now, if you need to get right with God, today's your day. So I want to...
Thanks for listening. And please check out our website or come and visit us at Mombole Christian Fellowship.